At a small, sweaty club in the East Village of Manhattan, there's something you don't see much anymore. Young people dancing to live jazz. The six-piece combo sits smack in the middle of the dance floor, the whole groove orchestrated by the bass player, who also hovers over a glowing laptop, firing off beats and samples. Adam Dorn goes by his DJ name, Motion Worker, but the crowd isn't sure what to call it.
It's this amazing synthesis of jazz.
Modern breakbeat jazz.
And electronic music.
And a nip of whiskey.
I think it's maybe a genre of its own.
Just be sure to get his name right. Motion Worker, spelled like the word ocean with an M, has just released his fifth album, Cinco de Mayo. It's a remix tour through jazz history. Big bands, funk soul, Latin, with a dance club beat. The album was crafted in a tiny little room in Lower Manhattan, a true New York studio apartment.
But there's not much of a tour. It's a couch, it's a television, a bed, and a big computer. And that's pretty much my world.
Well, one thing that amazes me, I don't see any albums here. As somebody who is a DJ for decades, yeah. Don't you have thousands of albums stored somewhere?
Yeah, I do. There's no vinyl in this apartment. As sad as that is for me to admit, like, I used to have all of my vinyl in my studio, but it just takes up too much room and it smells like someone's basement. It smells like, because I just don't want it around, you know? I want to, I'm not living in a dorm room, you know?
The space may be uncluttered, but you can't say that about the brain of Adam Dorn. The cover of the new Motion Worker CD features a picture of Dorn with instruments and electronics and boomboxes sprouting from his head.
My mind is full of beats and old big band sounds and brass instruments and just jazzy stuff in general. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking music all the time.
What sort of styles of jazz do we hear on the recording?
Well, I'm a huge 30s big band freak.
We hear, like, the Cab Calloway kind of stuff?
Yeah, a Cab Calloway, that aesthetic, that feel, like the 30s big band sound on Shake Your Boogie as the album opens up. And it kind of continues for a while, but I have a heavy Latin influence, so I tried, there's a song called Ole Baby on the record, and I tried to get, like, a, you know, Lucy, I'm home, you know, kind of, you know, Tito Puente meets, you know, Machito kind of vibe. But, you know, there's also a heavy Atlantic Records, Blue Note Records, 60s soul jazz kind of thing, because, I mean, it's a huge influence in my life, and we'll probably touch on that with other questions, because my father, I mean, I grew up...
Well, let's talk about your father. Your father, Joel Dorn, he was a DJ record producer?
Yeah, I mean, he was... If you saw the film High Fidelity, there's a list of jobs that John Cusack reads off as the top five jobs you could have, in dream jobs, basically. And the number two job is my father, the staff producer at Atlantic Records, 1964 to 1973, I believe, are the years. That's my father. He's the only person on earth that ever had that job. The artists that he worked with were Les McCann, Eddie Harris, Rahsaan Roland Kirk, Yusef Lateef. The more known artists would be Bette Midler and Roberta Flack. But I really grew up surrounded by this. Like, Atlantic was a family. So it's like, it's such a huge part of my life. And I've as a bass player, you know, Les McCann, one of the artists my father produced, I actually toured with Les a little bit, and I worked with Eddie Harris a little bit. So not only do I have this, like, knowledge of the production side of things, but as a player, I also got yelled at a lot by Eddie Harris, and I paid those dues as well, you know.
There's a story about you missing your high school prom.
Yeah.
Because you were in the studio with Miles Davis.
Yes, I was. And I basically really didn't go to high school. I, as a 15-year-old, realized I knew I was going to be in music. I knew I was going to be a bass player. I thought I'd be a bass player forever. It doesn't turn out that that's the case. But I wrote a letter to a producer, a bass player at the time, named Marcus Miller. And Marcus Miller is, if you're a bass player, you know that he's one of the top three or four bass players of all time. Jaco Pastorius and James Jamerson, Stanley Clark, that level, unbelievable bass player. And I was really lucky. He answered my letter as just a fan and said, hey, I'd like to meet you. And if you're in New York, come by the studio. And I took come by the studio as literally as a human can. And come by the studio turned into 3 years of sitting in a corner. And I was lucky enough to be in the room. Marcus was producing a record called Amandla for Miles Davis. This is his last studio record, I think. And I just was around a bunch of those sessions. And I just so happened to coincide with the fact that my high school that I would have graduated from was having its senior prom down in, you know, suburban Philadelphia. And I was like, hey guys, I'm with Miles Davis, and I think I'm a, like, in a much better place.
Listening to your album, I swear I could pick out sort of classic recordings of jazz in there, looped under. I'm trying to listen for it.
Yeah.
Are there actual vintage recordings in your recording? Did you sample old albums?
Not really. What I do is I get musicians to come in and copy things, and I distress the recordings and make things sound old. And, like, there are some old things. I'm not going to say I didn't sample anything. I'm not going to say what I sampled, and I'm also going to say, without a doubt, whatever I use is so recontextualized and murderized that it would be impossible to know what's what. My whole thing is, I love to see musicians react to tracks that I make and then give me the ability, you know, the freedom to do whatever I want with, you know, what they've done and mess with the sound quality, make them sound old. You know, I instruct them when they come in, like, it's 1930. We are not in Manhattan right now, and you're not checking your MySpace page. You're ready to go play with Louis Jordan, although that would be the 40s. But get people to think in a different context when they're about to play on my stuff, and then we just go to town. We go to work on it.
There's certainly some names on the album that we recognize. Herb Alpert plays on one of the tracks. How'd you hook up with him?
I worked with Herb on a remix record. He reissued a record of his very famous record called Whipped Cream and Other Delights. And I remixed a song called Bittersweet Samba. And in doing it, I actually got to know him a little bit. And, you know, like, he was very hands-on with the project. So towards the end of the project, I was actually like, hey, Herb, I'm working on my record. Is there any chance you could play on my album? And I just kind of threw it out there, and he was like, kind of emphatically, like, yeah, that would be great. I'd be totally into doing that. So I literally sent him a CD. He got it, and within 3 days, he sent me back two takes of trumpet parts, you know, on the song. And it was just like, wow. I mean, this is like an icon. And in my estimation, it's like having Herb Alpert tell you, like, you know, he's into your music or into working with you. It's like, it's sort of like the Pope telling a priest, like, you know what? You're pretty good at this religion thing. You know what I mean? It's like, I kind of was like, oh man, this is amazing. You know? So he sent it back right away. And, you know, and then that starts the process where I do what I call Mo-o-ize it, which is like, find little bits and pieces and phrases. I take anything that anybody plays for me and I chop it up.
Well, we're sitting here in front of these beautiful computer screens and tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Maybe you could show us how you put a song together?
Sure. Everything kind of starts with a beat, some sort of groove in mind. You want to have, I mean, there's no polite way to say this. You want to get their butt moving before you start appealing to their mind. And hopefully you'll meet in the center and everything will work out. Here's this song called Sis Boom Ba from the record. And it features Ross Aron Roland Kirk, but I'm just going to play you guys like the simple groove. Just a basic drum beat. Ride cymbal, that's when it becomes a little jazzy. Usually have a couple of snares layered on top of each other. This is a cowbell thing that I lifted off a ballad, and there's this little piece of piano in it. I have no idea where it's from. It's like, here's this thing. It's a little bit of bass, a little bit of piano, and this funky, rhythm. Let's add the bass, kick drum, snare, shaker. I'm gonna stop the track for a second. I've taken a 3-minute Rahsaan Roland Kirk flute solo that's actually from a totally different tempo and different key. And what I've done is I've mapped it out over my keyboard. So I have...
So each key on there now corresponds to a little bit of the solo.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't.
So I'm going to reach over here. What happens if I press this?
Don't do that! Right, and you just keep re-triggering. Like every time you hear, that's a phrase, that's a hit, just another little lick. So think about that. Now it's basically Rahsaan Roland Kirk is an instrument. Check this out. So you've heard these little snippets. Now you remember this track.
One last question. You've said with your music that you're, and this is your quote, making single women in Iowa dance to that scary four-letter word, jazz.
Yes, I am.
What is so scary about jazz? Is this some sort of barrier you're breaching here?
I hope so. There's a famous scene in The Simpsons where there's a jazz radio station and it says, jazz, 139 Americans can't be wrong. Meaning that basically... jazz is sort of viewed as a very difficult thing for a lot of people to get their head around. And the way I look at it is that it was initially party music born out of brothels and juke joints, and it is steeped in dance music. And I think a lot of it, it's been turned into this university-level, serious, button-up, I don't even know if that's a real expression, button-up, whatever. It's just too serious. Jazz is not only at Lincoln Center in a tuxedo. Although I think that's really hip too. Jazz is fun. I don't know that I necessarily make jazz, but I might make jazzy music. And the goal is for people to enjoy it.
I'm sitting here at the computer with motion worker Mowo, a.k.a. Adam Dorn. His new CD, Cinco de Mowo, is on the Mowo label. Thanks for showing us the studio.
Thanks for coming down.
To hear songs from Motion Workers' new CD and to discover more new music, visit npr.org/music. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Leanne Hansen returns next week. I'm Robert Smith.